Now, it sounds simple, but could working together be the thing to get small businesses and primary producers through this pandemic? Cooperatives are 100% community-owned businesses. They help people work together, they take risks together, and they face challenges together. Now, the Business Council of Cooperatives and Mutual has launched a cooperative farming hotline to help Australia's farmers develop farm cooperatives. Currently, there's more than 200 agricultural co-ops owned by around 20,000 farmers, fishers and foresters. And here in South Australia, we're quite rich with co-ops across multiple agricultural industries, as well as the Barossa Co-op, which is the largest and longest standing retail cooperative in Australia. And if you've ever had a meal or stayed at the Renmark Hotel, did you know that was the first hotel to be cooperatively owned in Australia? Well, for more on how co-ops could help through this crisis, I spoke to Melina Morrison, the CEO of the Business Council of Cooperatives, earlier.
It's the original form of working collaboratively. It's the original form of crowdfunding for a venture, if you like. Cooperatives work by pooling the capital that people bring, the needs, and the opportunities of a bunch of people who want to try and do things for themselves. So you get to cut out the middle guy in a farm cooperative. You get to invest in your future together, but you also get to stay independent.
Has there been much growth in cooperatives? We know a couple of years ago, one of the big cooperatives in the dairy sector, for example, Murray Goulburn, which was farmer-owned, that collapsed. Have you seen a trend shifting back to co-ops?
Oh, it's absolutely a resurgent market. It's an old idea that's a new idea. So business models collapse all the time. I mean, we're seeing right now a catastrophic impact in sectors like tourism, for example. And businesses collapse or go out of business for different reasons. And it's certainly the case that cooperatives and mutuals can experience that as well. But, you know, this can be a business planning or, a global commodity market problem that has nothing to do with the business model. We're seeing growth in lots of sectors of the economy, not only in farming, in housing, in aged care, in health, in education, in financial services, where people need to come together to try and get a stake in the economy so that they can actually be rewarded for the endeavours that they're putting in. In agriculture alone, with 230, and they support around 20,000 independent primary producers in all different agricultural commodity areas. In South Australia, one of your newest agricultural ventures is in fisheries. That's the Limestone Coast Fishermen's Cooperative. And they've formed out of a fishing sector that was a bit in the doldrums. So they've actually been able to innovate and bring back that industry to that community because they've decided to choose a business model that allows them to pool their capital, their risk and their appetite for growth.
You mentioned there the Limestone Fishing Co-op. What are some other examples of successful cooperatives in South Australia and also how they're managing to get through this pandemic?
South Australia's got a great tradition of cooperatives, not only in agriculture. You've got the country's oldest cooperatively owned or community-owned pub in Renmark. Right across the agricultural sector in lots of different areas, you've got cooperatives. So we've got them in apple growing. We've got them in almonds with Almond Co. We've got the prawn co-op and the Limestone Coast Fishermen's Cooperative. You've got them in wine or grape growing with CCW. Master Butchers, you're the only state that's got a cooperative of independent butchers. It's probably one reason why you can still pick up a lamb chop from the local butcher because these guys have been able to stay independent and stay in business because of their cooperative. And that's a great example, actually, of talking about how they're managing to maintain their business continuity through this terrible pandemic. It's a mixed picture, like any other sector, and it really depends where you are. But one thing that people are needing to do through the pandemic is to continue to eat high quality produce we're so lucky in Australia that we have food security, and a lot of that food security is supplied through cooperative producers, because the one thing that a cooperative guarantees in a crisis where supply chains are being disrupted is that you do have domestically owned businesses. So those cooperatives in South Australia, they're 100% community-owned ventures in the South Australian economy. To stay in business, they're doing what they always do in good and in bad times. They adapt their business model to survive. Cooperatives are keeping their members trading and viable by returning rebates earlier than normal, for example, so that they can actually just help with cash flow. They're also changing their operating model to slim down their costs as much as possible.
Because that's something the pandemic has sort of shown, and that is just, you know, how reliant we are on overseas manufacturing and processing. So do you think that there is a role here for co-ops to be playing?
Well, it's certainly sharpening our focus, isn't it? You really know in a crisis where the vulnerabilities are in your supply chain. We've lost a lot of manufacturing, and that includes in the value-adding food processing that we used to see decades ago. You know those brands that we grew up with, the Golden Circles, the Sascos, the Goulburn Valleys, SPCs. These were domestically owned, high-value food processing cooperatives that were able to scale up the independent production of the members and market it, you know, create enough scale to be able to market and process it so that it could be supplied, you know, into an international and a domestic food chain. I think we're going to be doing a lot of reviewing of why those industries declined. Why did we demutualise so many cooperatives? It wasn't just high labour costs and the, you know, the difficulties of existing in a trade liberalised environment.
And so you've launched a program to help farmers start cooperatives. Can you tell us a little bit about how it works and why you wanted to do this?
Yes, look, this project is supported by the Department of Agriculture through funding from the Australian Government Starting Farm Cooperatives Program. And this program is there to provide education, advice and information, and more importantly, farmer-to-farmer peer networking through a mentorship program, a champions program that we have engaged in. And this is to help existing businesses, particularly in this time of crisis and need, look at ways that they can keep resilient and stay sustainable so that they can be there on the other side of the crisis.
We were talking about risks earlier, and we are in the midst of a crisis. Why is this sort of the time to be making a co-op?
Well, if you think about some of the opportunities that are on the other side of this crisis, they really do drive the need right now to investigate what strategies you're going to do to survive through the crisis. If you look at a sector like vineyards and winemaking, those smaller providers, those smaller businesses that have relied a lot on cellar door visits, tourism, local tourism, they're going to be really, really struggling through this period. If their need to invest in the digital infrastructure going online matches up with other businesses of a similar size that are also struggling, there's an opportunity for them to come together and work on that part of business strategy. So there's huge opportunities, and what we can do through our program is actually help some of that business modelling to be done now. You know, bringing people together, let's talk about what's possible here. What could a business plan and a strategy look like? That's what this program has been set up to do.
That was Melina Morrison, the CEO of the Business Council of Cooperatives and Mutuals. And if that's something that has got you interested, you're thinking about joining a co-op or you're already part of one, if you'd like to get more information about the program that they're running, you can call 1300 665 174. And I was surprised to find out that South Australia is the only state to have a butcher's co-op. Master Butchers Cooperative Limited, or MBL as it's known in South Australia, is a co-op that formed in 1905 by butchers. Now, they're also recycling a wide range of food industry waste and have made headways into the US pet food market. Jamie Higgins is the CEO of Master Butchers Cooperative, and I spoke to him earlier.
The key to our success is we don't have one major shareholder who may have 51%, you know, so holds the power and could do anything. The co-op structure is there as a one-member, one-vote system, so you can have your say and be heard. And because the sole purpose we exist for our members, we operate efficiently. We only provide quality products that we test with our members. There's no hidden agendas. And any profits we make go back to our members.
And what are some of the things you do? Because you've got, you know, you're covering a lot of the supply chain with small goods, supermarkets, butchers, seafood retailers and that sort of thing. You've got, you know, quite a few customers along that chain as well. What are some of the things that you do?
Some of the things we do, there's two key divisions we operate for our members. And these two divisions form the foundation of the cooperative back 115 years ago, and they're still relevant today. So there's MBL Food Service and MBL Machinery. They are divisions of the Master Butchers Co-op. And what we do there is we use the collective buying power, or the collective power, I should say, of the cooperative to monitor and support the latest market trends and drive innovation, new product development with ingredient trends, flavours, recipes, allergen information, nutritional information. There's innovation in new equipment, new packaging, recycling and recycled packaging, or recyclable packaging.
And so just to sort of break some of that down, like you can, you know, buy meat at a better price. Is that what you're looking at?
No. So it's funny, we do everything other than meat. This is one of the, it's a common discussion I'll have with customers or, friends and people who ask what I do. We supply everything you'll see in a butcher shop, but not the meat. We supply basically everything that you'd see in a butcher shop or in the meat section of your supermarket, except meat, meaning we supply ingredients like marinades and sausage meals, crumbs and coatings, packaging, food safety equipment, food processing equipment. We do custom blending of ingredients for some of South Australia's best food companies. Even the apparel, the aprons, hairnets, gloves, gumboots you'll see, you know, your local butcher wearing. We supply all of that. We don't do meat, as in we do not supply meat to any of our customers. The other side is the protein business. So I mentioned before there was two fundamental reasons that we exist. And the second one is MBL Proteins. That's a division of Master Butchers Co-op. And we operate two large recycling plants. And we take the organic waste material from the meat, poultry and seafood processes, and we process that into sought-after commodities such as tallow and meal products, because the animal waste or byproduct material is not permitted to go to landfill. So MBL Proteins provides an environmentally essential service to our members and the food industry.
And you've found a way to recycle that waste meat. You've got two plants, one at Wingfield and one at Keith. Can you tell us what you're doing there?
Yeah, sure. So we take that organic waste material from the meat and poultry, seafood industries, process it into sought-after commodities such as tallow, meat meal, blood meal, feather meal, which is then sold on the domestic and international markets into various regions such as Asia, North and South America, Canada and Europe. These tallow and meal products are sold into a wide range of markets. And a number of industries, including tallow to make soap. This was the key product back when the co-op was formed. And the meals traditionally went into pig and chook food pellets. And you would have heard of blood and bone for your garden. But now tallow is used in things like biodiesel. And through innovation, you know, our product development technology, we've created high-quality ingredients that go into animal feeds and premium pet foods. And we supply some of the largest pet food manufacturers in the world.
And you've cracked into the US pet food market, is that right?
Yes. Yes, we supply a couple of the larger, more at the premium end of the pet food market in the US and Canada. And they'll have specific product requirements and quality criteria that we meet. And what that does also is it actually protects their market with the diversity of having supply out of Australia or South Australia, as well as they could source, you know, through Europe, Asia, or from their own local market.
How do you think also being a cooperative is helping you get through this pandemic?
Oh, look, I think, I know it's an old cliche, but we are here for our members. You know, even in the current, you know, COVID-19 climate, we actually diverted all of our resources and products to supplying our members first. We closed our retail showroom, which is at Athol Park. That's normally open to the public, but we did that to ensure we had enough stock to meet the needs of our members first and foremost.